Rashi has told us, if you have a chumash in Perech HaPeh, beginning of Toldos, the Torah describes Yitzhak is 40 and marries Rivka. We're talking about individuals of totally different backgrounds. My brother Shlita mentioned yesterday, I was told in his name, Kalom Adava V'Shem Omro, maybe Gula L'Olam, that every shidduch is a miraculous event. Every shidduch is essentially Mala Begodish miracles. It's not my brother's finish. It's mentioned explicitly in Mishonah. Rabbeinu B'Chaye, in this week's Pasha, refers to Gemara Mo'ikotin, but the Gemara tells us that in Chayisar, I'm talking about, Meha Torah, Meha Neviim, Meha Ksuvim, the Gemara cites Psukim from the Torah, from Novi, from Ksuvim, Meh Hashem Yotza Adoba. That every shidduch is literally, Ribbono Shel Olam is behind every shidduch. Ad kidei kach, we're almost, the Rishonim suggests, there's no Bechira Chavshis. There's no free will. Normally we have free will to make decisions in our lives. Now when it comes to Shidduchim, we are literally taken for a ride, if you will. And Hashem is Baruch, more or less, even though we think we have decided whom we're going to marry, we are not in control. That's an astounding thing mentioned by Rishonim. Anyway, here at the beginning you told us you had Yitzchak, who's 40 years old. What kind of a background is he coming from? The house of Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. And he's marrying Rivka. And look what the Torah describes in Pasuk Chav, the second Pasuk in the Pasha. Bas v'su'el ha'arami, mipadan aram, achos lovan ha'arami, lo li'isha. Why is the Torah stressing so much her genealogy? The answer is, she comes from a different type of family. How would I describe them? Full of skullduggery. Shysters. Gangsters. Terrorists. Involved in thievery. Banditry. Every imaginable and unimaginable type of scurrilous activity. And so she is set up with Yitzhak. Amazing. Of course, this is to her credit. Rashi comments, if you probably know the Rashi. Rashi tells us, why is her genealogy mentioned? Shoisa Bas, Russia. She's the daughter of a Russia. The sister of a Russia. Her entire environment is suffused with wickedness. Mekoman Shiresha. V'lalamda mimaseya. Somehow she was able to emerge from all this. And as a result, she obviously is a very strong person. Okay, that's just by way of a preamble to this discussion that we're going to have. And then there's some sort of internal struggle going on inside Rivka, and a very difficult pasuk habez, which I'm not discussing now because that needs a separate shiur. And Hashem tells her, you're going to have two nations that will emerge from your loins. And finally she is about to give birth, and behold, there are twins. Pasuk Chafet. Vayetze Harishon Admoni. The first one comes out. What does he look like? Ruddy looking. Who else is described in Tanakh as Admoni? David HaMelech. Excellent. Kulo Ki Adera Seyer. Or rather, her suit fellow. They didn't have that among the SAT words. Vayikru Shemo Esau. Vayachreichen Yotza Achiv. Then his brother emerges. Vyodo Ochezit Vakev Esau. Vayikru Shemo Yaakov. Vyitzva Benchishim Shon. Never let us also. I continue. Vayigdulu Anorim. Vayi Esau Ish Yodea Tzai Yisodeh. Vyakov Ish Tom Yoshev Oholim. Two, almost I would say, antithetical personalities. One is a hunter, aggressive, adventurous, and Yaakov, Ish Tom, the way the Targum translates, Gavra Shlim, Gvar Shlim, someone who's a Sholem, Yoshev Olim, he lives a different type of life, a more contemplative kind of life, a more meditative kind of life. He's busy learning. Vayehad Yitzhak HaSeisav Kitzayit Befiv, B'rivko HaHemeses Yaakov. Yitzhak has a preference for Esav, but Rivka seems to have a preference for Yaakov. And now I want to start and examine the next series of psukim carefully. Vayozid Yaakov Nozid. Yaakov decides to make a kind of porridge, if I can translate it that way. We'll discuss it in a moment. Vayomer Esav and Asadim Hu Oyev. Esav comes from the field and he's tired. Vayomer Esav El Yaakov. He tells Yaakov, Haliteini no min ha'adam ha'adam azeki oyev anochi. The language of Haliteini right away should arouse your pique and strike your fancy. A very unusual, extraordinary kind of language. Rashi comments in the Mishnah, talk about it. Is our family Mishnayis. Haliteini means take that porridge and pour it down my throat. Stuff it down my throat. That's Haliteini. Why? Ki ayef anochi. And therefore the Torah says, Al kein kara shemo Edom. So there's an obvious question. My father, Mashallah, was very bothered by this kasha, and I'm sure when I ask it, you'll be bothered by it as well. Here, Esav, the hunter, comes from the field exhausted, and Yaakov is cooking some sort of stew, some sort of porridge, and he says, pour it down my throat. What should he pour down? Some of this red stuff. Min ha'odom ha'odom azeh. And therefore, he called his name, Edom. I walk into a store, I decide to buy a blue jacket. Because of that, they call me blue for the rest of my life. What in heaven's name is going on here? Furthermore, not only Esav, but guess what we call the entire, all of his entourage, all of his scion, they're also called Edom. What? Because Esav ate some red porridge and red stew, he's called, shall we say, Edom, and the entire country is called Edom. I'm not asking for questions or answers. I have something to say. Clearly, if you don't mind. Thank you. Shekhar. So, Chazal tell us, Rashi quotes it on the spot, that what was that tafshil? What was that porridge? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Bava Basra, famous Gemara, that day, who passed away? Avraham Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu made a tafshil shel adashim, a tafshil of lentil soup, in order to be menachem his father, Yitzchak. That's the din, as you probably know, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Yerodeya, the Chesav Eglos, the first meal, which is given to an Avel, is called the Suda Sadra. That is a suda that he's not supposed to prepare on his own, but rather others prepare it, and they're supposed to, in effect, give it to him. He's not supposed to eat mishalo. So, Chazal, Rashi actually alludes to this right over here. Namely, that adashim, as you know, what is the nature of adashim? What does it look like? It's a round kind of bean. And Chazal say that adasha ein la peh. Other kidneys, other legumes, have stakim in them, have, if you will, nooks and crannies and crevices and crags, but not a lentil. It's a circle, a circular kind of legume. So just like adashim ein la peh has no mouth, so to speak, so too says Rashi, an ovel is not able to speak. An ovel is almost rendered, Rahman al-Islam, quiescent by virtue of the fact that he's lost a close relative. As a matter of fact, an Ovel is not even allowed to. Al pi halacha, he's supposed to really be in a state of total quiet. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ke'onik Dom, Ad Kedei Kach, where Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, was very makbid, even though generally when one goes to Menachem Ovel, often the Ovel, he's the one who's supposed to begin to speak, and others respond to the Ovel. You're not supposed to initiate. The Ovel initiates the dialogue, and he speaks about the person who passed away, obviously his virtues, or her virtues, whatever qualities they had, that's part of Nichum Avelim, unquestionably. And often, Divrei Torah sometimes are learned in the Beis Ovel, is the minute to Mishnayis in the Beis Ovel, Mishnayis of Mikvos. Rav Soloveitchik was opposed to it, because of the Gemara and the Rambam that says ain omim shmuah v'agada b'beis avel. You can't actually say divrei Torah in the beis avel. And when Rav Soloveitchik sat shiva, it was almost 24/7 of quiet for 7 days. People came in, came out. Came in, came out. Total quiet. I heard only once or twice when there was a great Rosh Hashiva who came and started apparently discussion on Hilchos Aveilos. Other than that, it was total quiet. So Rashi over there in Masechet Bava Basra, where the Gemara mentions this idea of the lentil, just like a lentil has no peh and Avil has no peh, he's quiet. And another explanation that's given is that a lentil is a circular kind of item. So too, Rachman Litzan Avelus is something that goes around. And no one can obviously be exempt from Avelus. But whatever the case is, the Gemara says that this Tafshil that was being prepared was for the purpose of this, as I said, Surah Sabra. Today, actually, the custom is to serve eggs for that meal, for the Surah Sabra. That's the minhag mentioned, actually, by the Poskim in Shulchan Aruch. During Yaakov's time, apparently, lentils were also acceptable. An egg is also an oval, circular kind of item, food item. And Rashi says that that is an effect to indicate that Avelus is something that no one can possibly avoid. Whatever the case is, Esav was not an ignoramus. Esav knew very well that Avram Avinu had just died. And Avram Avinu's funeral was certainly no secret, because the whole city of Hebron was present. As you see from last week's Pasha, and Chazal said, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, the day that Avraham Avinu departed from the world, so all the great people of the nation stood in line and said, the Lashon of the Gemara is that, oi, they said, woe is to the world that has lost its captain, lost its leader, a ship that lost its helmsman. So clearly Esav was aware of why Yaakov was preparing the lentils. However, the pasuk says, and I want to again read it so you can see what the Torah tells us. Vayovo Esav min asodeh v'hu oyef. What does oyef mean, literally? He was tired. He was ravenous. He desperately wanted the food. But Esav realized that given his reputation, Esav, by the way, there was one aspect of Esav, the Chazal praise. What aspect is that? Kibbut Avayim, the unbelievable Derech Eretz that he had for his father. And that's mentioned in this week's Pasha as well, and also discussed by Chazal. But to go ahead and eat the lentils himself would be hypocritical. So the best solution, he felt, was to pretend he didn't know what food Yaakov was preparing. Give me that red stuff, that Heinz ketchup, those tomatoes, or whatever it is. And he therefore, the Torah says, called his name Edom. Because essentially, this is reflection of Esav. Esav gives the impression of being a tzaddik, but that's just outward. In truth, he's no tzaddik. You know why Esav is called Edom? Rashi refers to Dibrei Chazal. You're aware of this. Everyone is aware of it. Rashi mentioned this in Psochim. Chazir. Chazal say Malchus Edom is compared to a chazir. It's a chayat meya, as you know. The Torah tells us the chazir is not a kosher animal. But what is the nature of a chazir? A chazir tries to mislead everyone to thinking that it's kosher. How does it do that? Because there are two simanim, as you know, of kosher animals. What are they? Number one, chewing its cud. Number two, what is the second? Correct. So we're talking about hooves, correct? That are split. So what is a pig? What is a chazir? A chazir has... Correct. So I'll put it in, since we have the English over here. What the chazir does, he flaunts his trotters. Are you familiar with that expression? Undoubtedly, it's an English expression. When I'm in the presence of people who are from His Majesty's empire, I have to speak very aristocratically. So even though he's not kosher, he tries to mislead everyone to think that he's kosher. So the name Edom would not have been conferred upon him if not for the fact that it was not just a one-time occurrence, it was a recurring phenomenon in Esav's character. And throughout the generations, Edom displayed themselves on the outside to be fine people, when in reality, they were very far from this. I'll just give you an example from history, if you will. Chazal said that Rome descended from Edom. The Roman Catholic Church, I imagine you are familiar a little bit with the Roman Catholic Church. Perhaps in England, you have a greater familiarity with the Roman Catholic Church than Americans do. I suspect so. The Roman Catholic Church, as you know, I got it, throughout history, has attempted to represent Ke'ilu Christian values of turn the other cheek. Love and kindness. Are you aware of the Roman Catholic Church and their history towards the Jewish people? I actually had a professor once who actually taught the course that he was supposed to teach was European history. Instead, the entire course was focused on the Catholic Church and their despicable behavior towards the Jewish people throughout the millennia. So I was able to acquire a fair amount of knowledge. And by the way, another nation who tries to paint an image as champions of the people on the outside, while this is far from their true color, is a country that's represented by a chap who I really feel that we should somehow model ourselves after. Who is that? Russia. My good friend Putin. By the way, what color are they represented by? Red. They call themselves socialists, communists, make a big show of fighting for the freedom of the proletarians. In reality, they're imperialists. Shane Camo, Stalin would promise the world, and anyone who would, shall we say, stand in his way, the day later we would have Yiskadel v'Yiskadel Shmei Rabo. Putin, by the way, is not much different. They got the same, shall we say, genetic code. Anyway, this is Edom. Edom at its best. Or at its worst, I should say. Now, right after Yaakov, who is making his porridge, and Esav is coming with Asodebu Oyef. By the way, what do Chazal say? Oyef. You know what Oyef means? That day he committed several averos. Medrash, a very lengthy medrash. Ritzicha, Gilarayos, a few other matters. Mind a little matters here and there. He was basically tired of life. Sometimes people get tired of life. Life is boring. What's there to do all day? Learn about Dofen Akuma? Never. A young Shana Aleph man, one of your colleagues, told me about 2 or 3 weeks into the Zman, maybe it was a bit more than that, maybe a month after the Zman, he came to this bent walls business. Rabbi, his Rebbe told him to speak to me. Rabbi, how much time are we going to spend on bent walls? How many different types of bent walls can we have? Why are we doing this, he asked me. I should have sent him to you, Daniel. Maybe you would have helped. Amir, you would have been in a better situation to answer than I was. I then proceeded to give him a lengthy lecture about the Talmud, and before I knew it, he was in the arms of Orpheus. He just fell asleep on me. So I assumed I resolved his issue. So back here, Esav is tired of life. Vayom Esav el Yaakov, havi tenina, pour this stuff down my throat. Ki yayef anochi, I'm tired of life. Now let's continue. Yaakov says, sell me the birthright. What does it mean to sell the birthright? And this I discussed earlier with Avraham Shlita. Although Yaakov and Esav were twins, who was the firstborn according to the Torah? Esav. So how can a sale change these facts? You're either the Bechor, you're not the Bechor. If you're the Bechor, so what is the nature of this sale? What is going on over here? This is a halachic issue and a hashkafic issue. We're sharing them a field day with this. So Rashi comments that Yaakov Avinu was interested in attending the kahuna. The Ramban writes that the Ikra Avodas with the Bechoros, that's what he wanted to do. Because prior to Matan Torah, the kahuna was given to the Bechor, to the firstborn. But it appears they had the right to transfer to others. And Yaakov wanted to serve Hashem. And Esau's response is, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vayomer Esau, Hinei Anochi Olech Lamos, V'Lamos Eli Bechora. What do I need this for? I'm tired of life. I'm bored. I'm suffering from ennui. A whole day, Dovin Akuma. Who needs this kind of religion? Bent walls, that's all we do, discuss bent walls all day and all night. Oy, boring like heck. This is what Judaism consists of? Bent walls? By the way, Rashi quotes over here that where did Esav get the idea he was going to die? So Rashi says, Esav said, he asked Yaakov, what's the nature of this Bechora business? What's it all about? So Yaakov said to him, there are a lot of Isurim, there are prohibitions, there are punishments involved here, there are death penalties. Let's say someone who does the Avodah after having drunk wine. Of course, you know, a Kohen cannot perform the Avodah when he's drunk. That's a Pesuk in the Chumash. So Esav said, if I'm going to die, so what's the point? And then the Torah says, "Vayom Yaakov, he shavah li kayom, vayishavah lo, vayimkaras b'chavasa li Yaakov." He sold the birthright. And now I just want to show you a series of psukim that always to me are very striking. "Vayakov lamadalot, Yaakov nasam Esav, Yaakov gave him lechem, nizir adoshim, he gave him a hunk of bread." With that lentils, with those lentil soup, and look at all the verbs that follow. Vayochal, vayesh, vayokom, vayelach, vayimez. Esav is habachor. Whenever you have a series of verbs in the Torah and found in a consecutive short staccato kind of form, that is an indication of something. The Ramban right here on the spot is aware of this. He ate, he drank, he got up, he left, and then what? Vayimez Esav is habachor. The whole thing was absolutely held in contempt. Ramban writes, what kind of a fellow do we have over here? This is a classic Papagayo man. 194 shekels. Eat till your gills are stuffed. Not Achila Gasa. According to either opinion, Achila Gasa we shouldn't. Why not? But you're doing L'Shem Shamayim. I just learned three block Gemara. So I should go to Papagayo's. Eat for 7 hours straight. Till my stomach implodes. This is Esav. Vayochal, vayesh, vayokom, vayelach. The Ramban writes, his interest is only the here and now. Right now I have to satisfy my stomach. Right now, I want a materialistic kind of life. I'm not interested in any long-term kind of thing. What is this? Avodah business. Spend my life studying Dofen Akuma. What am I? Okun? What am I, twisted? What am I, distorted? What am I, crazy? Why would I do that for? So, this is by way of introduction to the topic that I have to talk about. The Darkei Bakodesh. So now I just wanted to share with you, there are a number of Rashis here that I thought you would, I imagine you probably, Yitz Hashem, hopefully you'll study the Rashi. First, let me mention the Gemara Bava Basra comments, and that day, Esav committed five averos. One of them, the Gemara says, kafa ba'ikav. He actually was a kofer, denied Hashem. And the other averos that I mentioned earlier, Betzicha, Gidarayas. However, there's a quality of Esav which is very striking. And my father was also troubled by something else. And I heard this also from a number of Marabeim, this kasha. The pasuk says that Yaakov tells Esav, Esav tells Yaakov, Hinei Anochi Yolich Lomos, who needs the Bechora? So what does Yaakov say to him? He shavah b'kayom. Yaakov administers to him a shvua. Now you probably know, Pi Alocha, and this is actually mentioned by the Gdoli Aposkim, I assume you're familiar with it, that in general, when one takes a shvua, so you look in the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, the halacha is that when you swear b'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. You have to swear in the name of Hashem. You're not allowed to swear chas v'shalom, b'Avodah the Zorah. As a matter of fact, even though you find sometimes in Chazal that they swore either on the Beis HaMikdash or b'Avodas HaKorbanos, but it means that they're swearing to whom? To the one who dwells in the Mikdash, namely Hashem Yisbarach. Not in the Mikdash itself. You take a look at the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, and also this is found in a number of different places. Whatever the case is, what's amazing, my father said, what's going on here? If Esav is a kofer ba'ikar, what in heaven's name is he swearing to someone that isn't believing? If a shua is b'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael, why would he take such a shua? What value is there? Not only that, you look a little bit later in Perachav Zayin. Do you remember the context of the brachos that were taken by Yaakov and Esav? Why did Yaakov take the brachos of Esav? Because of the nevuah that his mother received, that he's the one who's worthy of the brachos. So pasuk lamed dalet. After Yaakov receives the bracha, who comes in? And the synchronization is unbelievable. Namely, when does Esav come? A second after Yaakov received the bracha, Esav comes. The synchrony is mind-boggling. You see what I'm reading in Perachav Zayin? Pasuk lamed. Vayi kasher kila Yitzchak levarech es Yaakov. The moment that Yitzchak finished the bracha, Vayi ach yotzo Yaakov me'es penei Yitzchak ovid. What a pasuk. Ach yotzo Yaakov. The split second that he left, right away, Esav achid. Vayaska hu matami. He tells his father, Yaakov avi, Yocham b'sei b'no, please give me a bracha. Vayimelo Yitzchak ovid miyata. Another very striking pasuk. What, Yitzchak did not recognize the son that he loved? Miyata. And right away he says, Ani bincha b'chor ha'esav. Vayechma Yitzchak charad gadol amod. Yitzchak is frightened out of his wits. Vayomer mi'eifo hu atzot tzayi vayavid li. Who is that previous individual who also apparently presented me with some venison? Vochal mikol. B'terem tovo v'avarachel gam baruch yiyah. Here's where the bracha to Yaakov is confirmed. But then the pasuk I want to read is Lamed Aleph. Kishma Esav is dibri aviv. When Esav hears what his father said, Vayitzak tzaoko gidola umarad miyay. What does Esav do? He lets out a cry. Vayom ha'aviv. Barcheni gam ha'aviv. Don't you have any bracha left for me? Now, obviously, Esav understands a little bit what the value of the bracha is. Otherwise, why would he react in such a fashion? So we're asking several kashas. If he's a kofer ba'ikar, why is he taking a shvua b'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael? Number two, if Esav has absolutely no respect for anything that is quote-unquote Jewish, namely Dofen Akuma, why in heaven's name is he clearly full of remorse? And why is he so a tzaka mara g'dela? And what value is there to a bracha, to a kofer ba'ikar? So of course the answer is that Esav is conflicted. On the one hand, he obviously believes that there must be some kochos in the world, maybe some mysterious forces that operate. Even if he's not mami b'kadosh baruch hu, but he's mami, there are mysterious forces, and perhaps one of the people who has control of such forces is Yitzchak, his father, and his bracha can have some impact. And a shvua as well, something which has a certain element there, which is he's frightened about. And we find actually this phenomenon Even in today's world, it's not something which is so unusual to find individuals who are not really observant by any means. However, they have some, how shall I say, peripheral connection to Judaism here and there. In my days, actually, perhaps you don't see it anymore. I'm sure you don't see it anymore today. When I grew up as a little kid, so there were people you didn't see the entire year, except they would come several times a year to shul. When? Yiska. And does that phenomenon still exist today? I don't think so. It does? Certainly not to the same extent that it was. You would see women who would come to shul and put these little white doilies on their head to say Yiska, and men also, without the doilies, they'd put a keep on their head and say Yiska. And that was the extent of their entire Judaism. How many times a year do we say Yisker? Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Yom Kippur. So four times a year they would come to Shul to say Yisker. I mentioned already a number of times that Chazal say, Chochma b'goyim tamim, Torah b'goyim al tamim. Even if there's Chochma among the goyim, I spoke about this not long ago, but there's no Torah among the goyim. You can have individuals who, maybe I spoke about this, people who are professors of ethics, and yet their own behavior, their personal behavior, leaves a lot to be desired. Because the idea of Torah is to transform us, to change our personalities completely. And it's interesting, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the author of the Kuzari, he writes about Greek wisdom. He says Greek wisdom is flowers without fruit. That's how he writes. Prachim b'li perot. What does that mean? It's beautiful on the outside. There's a lot of beautiful philosophic ideas, but there's no fruit, there's no substance. The Greeks were admirers of strength, of beauty, but not of values, not of a lev tov. There was no yirat shamayim. It was all externals. So Esau, to a large extent, really is a reflection of that kind of approach. But what I want to share with you, and I just gathered for myself a number of Rashis. Rashi in this week's Parsha, again and again and again, just amazing how Rashi stresses this aspect of Esau. And before I mention that, I just want to refer to a Chazal that you're probably familiar with, you may have heard about it. After the brachos, you can imagine the Torah describes nothing. It says it here. Let's look at the pesukim. Pasuk mem aleph, perek chazayin. Pasuk mem aleph. Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al habracha sheberach olavi. Notice which word is used. Vayistom. What word normally describes hatred in Hebrew? Sina. Torah doesn't use the word sina. What word does it use? Vayistom. You can imagine which word is considerably more severe, harsher. The word Vayistom. Sina, unfortunately, sometimes people have Sina, the Mishnah writes in Sanhedrin, if you don't speak to another Jew for 3 days, you're considered to be a Sone, al pei halacha, chas v'sholom. But the word that the Torah uses here is absolutely saturated with, I would say, venom. Vayistom Esav es Yaakov al habracha, he hated his guts. Vayomer Esav b'libo, yikru me'eva lavi. The moment my father passes on, what will I do? I'll get rid of my brother Yaakov. So there's a tremendous sinner. The pasuk says it almost in the first parak. V'yavroso shemara netzach. As a matter of fact, what does Rivka do? Right away she tells Yaakov, look over here in parak of Zayin. Psukim mem gimel mem dalet. Rivka right away senses the nature of this antipathy of hatred. She tells Yaakov, kum brach lecho elavon avi charona. V'yashafi mo yom machadim. You better quickly depart in order to save your hide, ala shetoshu chamaso chicha. And of course, Rashi comments in a very famous pasuk over here in the Perek. If you look in Perek, Chav Zayin, Rashi has a comment here. Actually, the comment occurs later. I'm sorry. In Perek Lamed Gimel, of Ayishlach, or actually the beginning of Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Rashi quotes a Chazal that reads the following: Halacha hi v'yadua she'esav sonya le'yakov. You ever heard that expression? What an expression! Halacha hi. What does that mean? It's a halacha she'esav sonya le'yakov. What does that mean? It's something eternal. Not just a sinner that someone does something to you and you don't like it, you're not happy with it. This is embedded in the very persona of Esav. Esav son of Yaakov. So now coming back to what I said, I'm going to mention, because Rashi here, and I collected here a number of Rashis, where you see that there's quite a distinction between Esav and Yaakov. Chazal say, and Rashi quotes it, I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll mention, Esav not only hunted for animals, he also hunted with his mouth. He misled people into thinking he was a tzaddik. And Rashi comments over here, you're probably familiar with Rashi, he asked his father, namely, is salt chayev maaser? Do I have to give maaser on salt? Because he ensnared his father by convincing him, I'm a big tzaddik. A great tzaddik. He knows very well that salt is not chayev maaser. He wants his father to think he's a greater tzaddik than Yaakov Avinu, who does not take maaser from salt. And it appears, if you look at the psukim, that who is the batman over here? Yaakov is a batman. He's sitting and learning in the yeshiva. Yeshiva Olim, the way the Talmud translates, Beis Ulpana. Does he have any contribution to make to the world? Of course not. He's busy all day with Dofen Akuma. And Esav is a hunter. He's aggressive. He's a man of the world. But in reality, Chazal said the opposite is true. Yaakov is building himself and Esav is not. Yaakov is the real builder. Esav is the batman. As a matter of fact, the Targum, in the beginning of Toldos, a very striking Targum, my father, Zechen Nidrocha, right away noticed it. And I'm sure you're not familiar with this term because it's not a well-known term and it's not obviously a term that we utilize often. But I want to show it to you if you have a Chumash. In Pasuk Chavzayim, something we just read, Vayi Esav Ish Yodea Tzayid. How does the Targum translate? Esav Yodea Tzayid. Gvar Nachshirchon. And Yaakov Gvar Shlim. What is the term that the Torah uses here? Nachshirchon. Anybody ever heard of that term? A term that clearly I can't imagine anyone here familiar with. Even I would not be familiar with it if not for my father, Zechen Lebracha. What's that term? Nachshirchon. So I heard from Rav Levinsohn Shlita a number of times. I think he quoted a text in Baba Kama. Text in Baba Kama. Where's that text? That's Tali Beis. Text that says that Nachshirchon Nachu Batel or Nach Veshoket. What does that mean? Nach Veshoket. How do you translate it? Someone who's not doing anything. And who is the batman? Esav is the batman. Who is the one who, shall we say, is the builder? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is the one who built himself, his personality. Esav did not build himself. Anyone who learns Torah, Dofen Akuma is building worlds. It is hard for someone to initially understand that. Chazal said Esav had another quality, redeeming quality. And what was that? Eretz Yisrael. Besides Kibbutz Avei, Esav has another quality. He realized that Eretz Yisrael had value. However, he didn't appreciate it enough to sacrifice himself in any form. Avraham Avinu was promised Eretz Yisrael, but there was a t'nai. What was the t'nai? Yadoa teda kiger yezacha v'eretz alohem v'abon avinu asam v'abam yoshana. In order to get Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to earn it. What did that mean? 400 years of servitude where? In Egypt. Going to Golos. Esav was not interested. If you look at Parshas Vayishlach for a moment, in Perek, Lamed Vav, Pasuk Vav, the Torah says, Esav took his wives and his children and his daughters, Vayelech el Eretz v'nei Yaakov Rochim. What does that mean? Vayelech el Eretz He went to a land because of his brother Yaakov, says Rashi. He left Eretz Yisrael and went to another land. Yaakov was willing to endure suffering in order to acquire Eretz Yisrael because he realized its value. He would have been willing to endure thousands of years of suffering. Esav didn't want to pay the price. Rashi quotes it on the spot. Look at Rashi over there. Vayelech al Eretz logu Rashi yimtza, because Rashi comments the next Rashi. Esav said, I'm not interested in the shtar chov that comes with it. Namely, that I have to go into Golus, into exile, and live where? In the five towns, in Lincolnwood, in Chicago, in Teaneck. Golus. Nebuch. So whatever Esau believes in is only superficial. And the only thing that Esau takes seriously is one thing. His hatred for Yaakov. That is serious. That's taken very serious. And as I mentioned, the Pasuk in Amos, the Navi says, we have Rasam Shmor Netzach. He kept his fury forever. He doesn't forgive. His hatred for Yaakov remains for eternity. So when one examines the personality of Esav, one sees, as I described, a lack of yashrus. One sees a sheker, and Rashi could stay there in this week's parsha. I didn't cite to you all the Rashi that I collected. There's a whole list of them. Kedai to learn the parsha carefully with Rashi, and you will see that the difference between Yaakov and Esav is the difference between yashrus and sheker. The life of Esav is the life of sheker. It's a very external, superficial kind of lifestyle. The only thing that counts is what? The here and now. Not tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Everything has to be immediate gratification. That's how the Ramban writes when he describes Esav. It's all immediate gratification. That's the Papagayo kind of lifestyle, as opposed to the Dofin Akuma kind of lifestyle. I hope you don't mind my using Dofin Akuma. I'm just in love with that sugya. What can I do? In other words, Hashem wants us to. He wants our mitzvahs to be beautiful, no question. As important as the external Hebrew mitzvah is, what counts more? That which is inside. The pnimius of a person is more important than the chitzonius. Esav was a lot of chitzonius. And we represent pnimius. That's what ultimately is what's significant. And so I think that there's a very fundamental yesod, and I just will mention another raya to Rabbi Ifra Shlita, Moreinu Rabbeinu. When Yaakov and Esav in Vayishlach, I'm very fond of these psukim, and I'll just end with this. When Yaakov and Esav, they're about to meet again after a hiatus of a fair number of years, and Esav realizes that his hatzlacha comes as a result of being with Yaakov, just like Laban realized that. And Esau tells Yaakov, let me travel with you. And the like is in Vayishlach and Perek Lamed Beis. And Yaakov instructs his messengers what to tell them. And finally, when they meet up with each other, there's a word that's used there many, many times. A word, no. In Perek Lamed Gimel, I'll just show you for a second if you don't mind. Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud, this Red Chumash, page 81. Vayomer Yaakov, Esau said, let me travel with you. Let's go together. And Yaakov says to him, Al no, im no matzasi chen b'yenecho, v'lo kachti min chosu b'yodi, kach no. The word no is mentioned many times there. The word no has two meanings, actually has three meanings in Hebrew. One, Korban Pesach says, Al toch l'menu no, don't eat it, raw. Second translation, I say to someone, Ona Hashem Oshia no, please save me. What's the third translation of Ona Hashem Oshia no? Right now. Esav is only interested now. Esav cannot handle hasta luego, hasta mañana, ahora, right now. The here and the now, that's what Esav is holding in. Papagayos, right now. Otherwise, I will not learn the sugya of Dofin Akuma. Only papagayos. And then maybe I'll look at the bend walls. And Yaakov realizes, what is the approach? La'at, la'at. Ifrish Shlita's favorite mantra. Al no. No means right now. On Hashem Moshiach, no. Save me now. Right now. I want what I need right now. I'm not waiting. That is not, shall we say, what Klal Yisrael are all about, what Yaakov Avinu is all about. We, Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam has taught us that we have to look for the long term with patience, with forbearance. But unquestionably, the Ribbono Shel Olam, his promises are true and authentic. Halavai, we should develop the kind of philosophy that is, you don't overnight become the Gadol Hador. It's a slow process. You don't overnight become a Talmid Chacham. You don't overnight, shall we say, suddenly everything is clear, where the process of the sugya of Doifin Akuma becomes exciting. It takes time. So hopefully, if we develop the kind of patience and yashrus and the shleimus of Yaakov Avinu, we'll be zocheh to understand Doifin Akuma and be zocheh eventually, yes Hashem, to the Gula Shem.
Thank you. I just have a question.
Yeah.
So seemingly it was action.